Gentlemen, good morning and Chanukah Sameach. The question we're going to deal with this morning is one that happens almost every year. This one is a bit more unique than the regular, but it happens to everyone during Chanukah. Chanukah is a holiday which the sages ordained, and therefore, because they ordained it, you're allowed to travel. And because you're allowed to travel on this holiday, and usually that's not a problem on Chol HaMoed Pesach or Sukkos. Well, Chol HaMoed Pesach, you probably have a problem of a sukkah. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you might have a problem of kosher for Pesach food. But on Chanukah, we have an additional problem. And here's the problem. The Gemara in Shabbos, at the top of the source sheet, says, Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught, Mitzvat Chanukah, the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles, is three things. One, Ner. Two, Ish. Three, Beito. In order to fulfill this mitzvah, you need to have three things. You need to have a candle, a light. You need to be a person. In other words, if the Maharal of Prague allegedly made a golem, then he would not fulfill the obligation, and he would not be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah candles. Why not? He's not a human being. He's not a mensch. So you need to be a human being. You need to have a candle. And what's the third thing you need?
A house.
In other words, you cannot light the Chanukah candles unless you have these three things. A candle, be a human being, and have a house. You can't light in the middle of air, of space. You can't light in the middle of the city. Yes, right away a question.
Why say number two? Do we ever have a mitzvah that's on your dog or your cat?
Absolutely. Do you make Kiddush Shabbos morning? You make a long Kiddush or a short Kiddush?
I do the long Kiddush.
You do the long Kiddush, okay. You do the long Kiddush. What do you say in Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho? Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. You shall not do any melacha. Ata, you, uvincha, your son, vitecha, your daughter. Continue.
But that's on you to him. I mean, my dog is sitting listening, but what is he saying now?
Very good.
He doesn't have to really sit and listen.
We don't have mitzvahs on animals per se. Animals are not human beings, but we have mitzvahs pertaining to animals. We have isurim like tzar bale chayim. We have obligations of various sorts towards them. And also, obviously, we have obligations regarding breeding animals. Lo tachsom b'shor v'disho yachdav. And other things. But suffice it to say, I'll just give you a little commercial break. If you want to get a little tipsy on Purim, you should read a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. That's the father of Yaakov Emden, who contemplates the following question. If you have nine people and a golem, can the golem be the tenth man for the minyan? The Chazon Ish never understood the very premise of the question like Bruce, because he said in order to be counted to a minyan, before being Jewish and above bar mitzvah, you need to be a mensch. And a golem is not a mensch, it's not a human being. In any case, thank God human beings are walking around the earth. They usually have candles, and therefore the problem is the beito. Correct. No, absolutely. But an interesting tshuva it is. Absolutely. Now, here's the problem. And this is a real problem this year. Many people travel on Chanukah and they find themselves at a time of lighting Chanukah candles between flights. And they're not in a place where they can light the Chanukah candles because they're either in an airport or they're on a plane. And they're not going to get to a place where they can light Chanukah candles, namely a bayit of any sort, not their home, and not their home they're going to stay in. So the question I have this morning is, what do you do? Now, if you would have asked me, before looking at any of the sources, just looking at this source, what would you say?
No.
New Herald?
I would suggest, why not make a shliach for yourself, and this way you can be yotzi that way.
Shliach to light where?
To light in wherever house you started from.
Okay, we'll get to that. That's an interesting solution. But before that, you're forgetting one thing. I just said you are traveling. You're going to be on an airplane or in an airport. If you didn't know the rest of the sources on this page, what would you say? You're already saying make a shaliach to do the mitzvah for you. Go back a step. Are you obligated in the mitzvah?
No, but you're...
Well, if you're homeless, are you obligated in the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles? No.
But it's on the house.
So one second. Do we have another mitzvah in the Torah where if you don't have a house, you're not obligated in?
Mezuzah.
Sukkah, you are obligated.
Mezuzah.
You don't have a house. No one's going to go and say you're going right to hell. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. What are you going to do? You don't have a house. I'm homeless. I don't have a house. What am I going to do?
Traveling doesn't mean he's homeless. He has a home.
Oh, so we'll get to that. So here's the situation. We do have a home here, just he's not there. Who's there?
Perhaps his wife.
So the first solution and the first question I asked is anyone being left at home? Because if the answer is yes, we have a very big chiddush in the second surah to turn the page. So once again, you need to have a candle, you need to be a human being, you need to have a house. He's homeless right now. So I would have said he's putter. He doesn't have to do the mitzvah because he has no house. He happens to have a house the night before. He will have a house the night after. The fourth night of Chanukah, he doesn't have a house. However, the Gemara says in Daf Kav Gimel Amud Aleph in Maseches Shabbos Amar Rav Sheshet, Ach Sena'i Chayav Bener Chanukah. Even if you're a guest in someone else's house, meaning you're homeless right now, you're sleeping over someone's house, you're obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So even though you right now don't have a house to light in, if you're a guest in someone else's house, taking it to our situation, you are a guest. You're a guest on an airplane. You're a guest in an airport. You're obligated. Now, what does Rav Zera say? Mireshki Havina Bei Rav. When I was a little boy learning in yeshiva, Havina Bei Rav, I was learning in the house of Rav. I was learning in yeshiva. Mishtatafna Beprate Behade Ushpize. I would have given a little money, let's say a 5 agurot, to the person lighting in the house I was living in. And I would say, I want to be part of your mitzvah. So you'll light the Chanukah candles and I'll be part of your mitzvah. Just like Friday night, someone makes Kiddush. Have in mind to be motzi everyone around the table. So how do you do that with Ner Chanukah? You give him a pruta. You give him a coin. Now, says Rav Zera, Amina, I grew up. I Baruch Hashem got married. In this day and age, at the end of 2016, we have to say he got married to a woman. But now I don't need to light Chanukah candles by virtue of giving a coin. Why? Because they light for me in my house. Rav Zera is, from our perspective, where? Melbourne. His wife is in Efrat. Says Rav Zera, I got no issue. I used to have an issue, but now I have a home, and my wife is there, and because my wife is at home, she lights the Chanukah menorah in my home. Once she lights, she fulfills the obligation for me over here. Make sense to everyone?
Is Ish encompassing Ishar also?
Very good, very good. Now is the question, how do you learn this Gemara? When you have a Gemara like this saying, I used to need to give a coin, but now my wife is lighting at home, I don't need to do a thing. Does that mean you don't need to do a thing, or there is something you still need to do? This is a big machlokas. Rabbeinu Yerucham, which is quoted on many, many places in the Beis Yosef, he's one of the Rishonim, says as follows. Here I'm quoting him from the Bach, in Simon Tov Reish Ayin Vav. This is what Rabbeinu Yerucham said. He looked at this Gemara and he asks, this Rabbi Zera now is married. His wife is at home. Yesh me'agdolim shekatfu shimidliku alav bebeito, ain't zarech lavarech kesheru ener chaveiro. There are those that say, once your wife is lighting in Efrat and you're in Melbourne, no issue. You don't have to do a thing. Finished. Your house has mezuzahs. Your house has a Chanukah menorah. You do not have to now light for yourself. So just like you have mezuzahs in your house, no one will say, well, when you go to a hotel room, you have to put up a mezuzah. You have mezuzahs on your home, and that's good enough. It doesn't make a difference who put them up. So too, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, you don't have to do a thing. However, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, v'yesh me'em shekatfu, on the left side of the page, shafiu idliku alav beveito, shetzarich levarech kesheroeh. Does anyone know what he's talking about? My wife is lighting at home. I'm walking around. Chanukah night. I see a Chanukah menorah in the window. What do I have to do? I have to make a bracha. What's the bracha you have to make? She'asa nisim. Second night, first night of Chanukah, Shechiyanu also, She'asa nisim. It's a very complicated bracha called Birkat HaRoeh. So far we have a very good solution for this gentleman. He needs to light in his house. There's someone left at home. No problem. Whoever's left at home will light. You don't have to do a thing according to the simple reading of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, wait, that's the first part of the Gemara. I didn't quote it here. You go on in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes that there's something called Birkat HaRoeh. When you see Chanukah candles, you have to make a bracha. So it's not enough for this gentleman to have his wife light for him. What does he have to do? He has to go out of his way to at least do what? To see another Chanukah menorah. Now we get complicated.
Wait, the fact that our shul wouldn't count because...
No. We already explained that it wouldn't count. Okay. The Sfat Emet, who is known to everyone around this table as one of the Gera Rebbeim, the Sfat Emet, you can see his years on the bottom, Rav Yehuda Leib Alter, 1847 to 1905, he was the third Gera Rebbe. He's very famous for his Perush on the Torah, which for some reason or another, I don't know why, had a rejuvenation about 10 years ago, and all of a sudden everyone's quoting and learning the Sfat Emet. I don't remember as a kid anyone quoting a Sfat Emet. And it's interesting how certain books come back into fashion and out of fashion throughout the generations. Like when I was growing up, I never heard the word Rav Nachman or Uman. Today you can't walk two steps without seeing something of that sort. But one of the books that came back to life is the Sfat Emet. Less known is the Sfat Emet wrote a Perush on the Gemara. It's not as juicy. It's not Hasidic. It's usually halachic. Here the Sfat Emet, even though he's the Gera Rebbe, is a super duper brisker when he learns this Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says, when the Gemara says you need to have a home and be a human being, what does that mean? Does that mean it's a mitzvah on the home? Or does that mean it's a mitzvah on you, but you have to do it at home? Cheftza gavra. Exactly. Beautiful. So first of all, you can deduce from here that cheftza gavra was not founded by Reb Chaim Brisker. He obviously made it famous. He made it into a whole analytical way of learning. But it was there before. There's a Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Shavuos that talks about Cheftza Gavra. He coined the phrase as we learned the Gemara. Just like Lashon Hara was not founded by the Chafetz Chaim. But he is the most identified with Lashon Hara. Unetana Tokef was not found by that gentleman whose legs were cut off. It was there long before in the Cairo Gizniza, but who made it famous? Who brought it into the Machzer? That gentleman, Rav Klonimus, who's written in the Aratzko Siddur on the Aratzko Machzer on the bottom on Rosh Hashanah, the whole story, he made it famous. So the Chafetz Chaim made Lashon Hara famous, and this gentleman in Magensa made Unatana Toka famous. Who made Cheftzer Gavra famous? Rav Chaim Brisker. But it was there. Sfat Emet here, contemporary Rav Chaim Brisker, says as follows. Does this mean that Chanukah menorah is like the mitzvah of mezuzah, where whoever puts up the mezuzah, no one else has to do a thing? You might want to give it a kiss. You don't have to give it a kiss. Finished. It's a mitzvah on the cheftza of the house. So if you have a house, there needs to be a menorah tonight in the house. Pardon? That's one way of understanding the right side of the page. But on the left side of the page, he says, "Oh, Neymar, maybe the hamitzvah kol adam. It's a mitzvah upon you. Just where is the physical place you fulfill it? In a home. And therefore, if it's a mitzvah upon your head, then what does it mean when the Gemara says that his wife fulfilled the obligation for him?"
It means that it's really on him. I mean, his wife fulfilled it.
Correct. If you say it's a mitzvah in the house, then I have to just make sure the menorah is being lit in the house by someone that's a mensch, obligated in Chanukah menorah. Finished. Don't have to do a thing. But if it's a mitzvah on you, maybe you have to do more. Typical Cheftza Gavra. So when you look at this Gemara, Rav Zera says, when I was in yeshiva, I had to mishtatef bepruta. But now that I'm not in yeshiva, I no longer have to do that because my wife is lighting at home. Does that mean once you have a mezuzah up, no one has to worry? Just so therefore, if you have a Chanukah menorah up, no one has to worry? Or maybe no, you have to light a menorah. You can do it by virtue of, as Harold said, nominating a shaliach, having your wife, but you have to be part of it in some way or another. So you're part of your wife is part of your home, you're part of it. Now this will have a very interesting ramification. What's the ramification that Rabbeinu Yerucham already said? If it's a mitzvah upon you, then every single night you have to be there when they light menorah Chanukah menorah candles.
Or at least see it.
But if it's a mitzvah in the house, you don't have to do a thing. Make a call to the house. I'm stuck in the office. Make sure to light Chanukah candles. Finished. Don't have to do a thing. Just like Ner Shabbos. One lady lights in their Shabbos. No one in their right mind would say, no, everyone has to come and light. It's a beautiful thing if everyone lights Chanukah, Shabbos candles. But if one lady lights, no one that goes and says, no, I have to light too. Yes?
Is this where the rule of Bidiyavad would come into play, or the Hidr concept, that minimally there's a certain...
We're talking about the minimum here. We didn't even go to the Mehajj. We're talking about one candle so far. That's it.
The house is like a minimal bidyavad situation.
No. It's not bidyavad. No. You're using terms. We'll try to explain the terms. Is the house the obligation and you have to light the candles? Or are you the obligation, but the physical place is the house? Let me put it to you this way. Kriyas HaTorah in shul is the obligation upon the congregation. If you're on a plane tomorrow morning and you don't have a minyan, you do not have an obligation to lane. It's a mitzvah upon the congregation. Chovat HaTzibor. However, if you have to bench gomel, you have to bench gomel. You wear an accent, you got out okay. You have an obligation on the gavra to bench gomel. Where's the place you do it?
Within a minyan.
Within a minyan. Doesn't have to be on Shabbat. It can be any day of the week, but within a minyan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have certain obligations in the Torah that are upon the house, like mezuzah. We have obligations that are upon the person, like putting on tefillin. Question is, where do you put Ner Chanukah? Is it upon the house? So if you're traveling, just make sure someone lights at home and finished. Or no, it's upon you. So if you're physically there and you answer Amen, great. If you're not there, you have to at least see a Chanukah menorah. And if you're traveling in hotspots, that's a big problem because you might be the only person that's actually going to light a Chanukah menorah and go light a fire in the middle of an airplane.
Well, why isn't the house defined as where you happen to be?
We'll get to the flashlight.
Why isn't your house defined as where you are at that moment? And if you happen to be on a plane or in a hotel...
We'll get to that too. Now... this has many ramifications. So the question is, what does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin, and then he seems to contradict himself. He seems to paskin very clearly, if someone's lighting at home, you do not have to light in any other place. It's an obligation upon the house. So a homeless person is totally exempt, and you happen to be exempt, you're on a plane. Look on the right side of the page, Hilchos Chanukah, beginning of Simen Tov Resh Ayin Zayin, Ach Sinai, 1. That is a guest, let's say in a hotel. She'ein madlikim alav beveito. We're about halfway down the page. That someone is not lighting for him at home. Tzarich latet putah la'bal habayit lishtatef imo b'shemen shel ner Chanukah. Now let's read the Shulchan Aruch in the opposite. The Shulchan Aruch just said, Rav Yosef Karo Paskind, someone who is a guest and nobody is lighting for him at home has to light a menorah by virtue of giving some money to the person lighting in the house he's staying by. So if tomorrow night I'm in London and I'm staying in someone's house, so what I'm going to do is, according to this, I have to ask one question. Is someone lighting for me at home? So Baruch Hashem, this week I moved into my new home. First time in my life I own a home. And I know that someone's lighting at home. According to the Shulchan Aruch, what do I have to do tomorrow night?
Nothing.
Now, switch it around. If nobody is going to be home, we're all traveling, then you have to break your head and see what you're going to do. Once someone's at home, finished, comes the Bach and says, B'shem Asmag, De'ilu ayanasui, if the person, Rab Zera, was married, like he was in the Gemara, Afal pisha holech baderech, even if he's walking around, Eino tzarich levarech al haraya, kivan sheishto madleket alav. So even if he's walking around the Friday at night and he sees a menorah, he does not have to make a bracha of Sha'as Hanisim, because once you make a brach, once someone's lighting for you at home, finished. That's one way of understanding. Now look on the left side. Shulchan Aruch says, consistent, Yesh Omrim. What's Yesh Omrim mean? A descending opinion. Meaning his real opinion is, if someone's lighting at home, you're scot-free. But there are those that say that it's not a mitzvah on the Cheftza, but on the Gavra. Says the Shulchan Aruch there in Se'if Gimel, some say that if you're in an airport and there's not one Jew who's lighting Chanukah menorahs, you have to light your own Chanukah menorah, even if they're lighting for you at home. And the Rama agrees with him. Explains the Bach as follows. The Masha Madlikim Allah Beveto, he knows this Gemara, obviously, where Rav Zera is not on my wife's lighting at home, I'm okay. Eino ba'ele liftorato mechiyuv ha-mutel al-monod lahadlik nerot lefarsem ha-nes barabim. Aval ha-hoda'a la-nes u-berkat she-yano hu bechiyuv al-gufo u-mize lo niftar kishe Madlikim Allah v'im lo shamat sham b'sha'at bracha v'ana amen. The Bach once again uses the word Chefetz Gavra, and in a beautiful way says, in Chanukah candles we have two obligations. Now remember, the first point of view is there's one obligation on the house. Finish. What second?
You've got the light.
What?
You've got the light.
Correct. The second point of view, the Bach says, is like this. There's one bracha to spend money and to put a Chanukah menorah in your home. That's being done by your wife. Done. But there's a second obligation, and what's that? To thank God every night for the miracle of Chanukah by making the bracha of Sha'as Anisim. That you couldn't do. Why? You're in an airplane. You're in a hotel. So therefore, you have to light Chanukah candles for that reason. So there's two obligations. One is to have a Chanukah menorah at home, and the other for you to personally make a bracha or answer amen to someone else's bracha. If you don't do that, you're in trouble. So we have two points of view here. The first point of view is that Chanukah menorah is absolutely, totally an obligation on what?
On the base.
On the house. Once someone's lighting at home, finished. You don't have to worry. You can travel all you want. And the second point of view is no. It's an obligation upon you. Whereas the Bach says, there's two obligations. It's a twofold obligation. One is to have a menorah at home, and the other for you to actually make the brachas and say amen. Now, if you're there at the Chanukah menorah lighting at home, you've done both. That's the usual case. But this gentleman's traveling. So there are lighting at home, obligation number one, but he has not himself made the bracha and thank God for the miracle. So therefore, he may have to light Chanukah candles. However, I will just tell you that the basic minhag is that people do light Chanukah menorah candles, even if someone's lighting at home. So even though, as you could see here, it's a yesh omrim, and it's a chumrah perhaps, still, it seems to be the common minhag, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, the Aruch HaShulchan, who basically came into the 20th century, tries to melamit zchut on many things that people went lekula. Here he says like this, V'chenu be'emet ha-minhag shelanu, t'chol mishehu baderech, matlik b'makom shehu, av shebebeito, madlikim alav. V'ze b'chlal ha-hidur. Says it's a hidur mitzvah, mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, and therefore even if you're traveling, you don't have no problem. You can light the menorah, because once again, there's a twofold obligation. One is to have a menorah at home, and the other is for you to say either amen to someone's brachas or to make the brachas. So if you're on an airplane, or you're in an airport, or you're on a boat, and no one's making brachas, even though they're lighting for you at home, you still have to light a menorah to make the brachas.
If you and your wife both have jobs, we're not home.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
Lights of the house now.
Hold on. We'll get to that.
Is this a way to get around the bracha of a tala issue? To establish a second
chiyuv. Right, so we're going to get to that right now. Bracha levatala. Now, what's the ramification between this point of view? The lighting for you at home, you're scot-free. The second point of view is you're half-free, but you still have to either see someone else's menorah, or if you see no menorah, you should light yourself. Again, the Shulchan Aruch brings in as a yesh omrim. So I wasn't so worried when I asked this gentleman, is someone lighting for you at home? If he would have said yes, I would have said, finished, go travel, enjoy yourself. There's one little problem, and I have a very interesting ramification. I said the gentleman's in Melbourne, and his wife is in Efrat. What's the problem?
Yes, time zones.
Time zones! 9-hour difference!
I tried to say that to you before.
Very good! The Minchas Yitzchak was actually someone that grew up with my Rebbe, Rav Amital. The Minchas Yitzchak, you could see his years in the problem. He died in 1989. He was a Rav, as you know, in Manchester. He eventually was brought in by the Satmar Rebbe to Israel to be the Rav of the Eidah Haredis in the 70s. And they were very upset at him because, you know, he was a shtickle of Zionist. And, you know, in the Eidah Haredis, you can't be a shtickle of Zionist. They don't let you through the door. So they asked for the Satmar Rebbe, how do you dare bring this koifer from Manchester to Israel? He's a shtickle of Zionist. As a matter of fact, he got Prasa Rav Kook eventually. And the Satmar Rebbe gave a great answer. He's allegedly said, and I quote, you can become a Kanai overnight, but you can't become a Talmud Chacham overnight. I think that was a beautiful answer. So, Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, he actually grew up in the same town as my Rebbe Rav Amital. They went through the Holocaust together. My Rebbe was very upset, so I wasn't in yeshiva then. When he died in 1989, the only people that went to his funeral were Haredim. And he was very upset because if they're Gdola Yisrael, who cares what their ideology is? You go to their funeral. He was very, very upset. Anyway, the Minchas Yitzchak got a question from Moreinu HaGaon Felder Shlita, Toronto. based on the years, I'm pretty sure that the Shlita is now Zichrono Levracha. Rav Gedalia Felder was a great Rav in Toronto. You may have known him.
Yeah, he was.
You knew him?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Beautiful Talmid Chacham. His son now took over his shul called Shomer Shabbos.
Yes.
He basically, his name is also Rabbi Felder. I'm assuming this is the father. It says Shlita, you may have to cross it out in front of Zichrono Levracha. In any case, here's the question. You're on two different time zones. So we're going with the Shulchan Aruch, straight thinking. Your wife's lining at home, you have to do nothing. If you're in two different time zones, what do? And he brings two points of view. He says the general point of view is that there's no problem. It's a chiyuv on the house, not on you. You can be anywhere you want. As long as during the Hanukkah 8 nights, someone's lighting at home, you can be anywhere you want. And he's medayik it from the Mishnah Brura. He says, even if he's somewhere far, he's in a totally different time zone, as long as you're lighting at home, it's a chova on the home. But the Minchad Yitzchak himself is not comfortable with it. He says, what happens if you're holding by the second day Hanukkah and your wife's on the first day of Hanukkah? What happens if you already finished Hanukkah and your wife's still in Hanukkah, or vice versa? Vice versa would be the biggest problem. You're in California, your wife is in a totally different time zone, Hanukkah is done for her, and now it's your obligation to light. And what do you do? What do you do? He says, this is a problem. So again, if the chova's on the house, I don't care where I am. I'm irrelevant. It's where the house is. If it's a shtickle lechova on me as a human being, then the time zone's a problem. So to read Eric, what we've said until now, gentlemen, you need to have a house to light Hanukkah menorahs, you need to be a human being. The question is it an obligation upon the house? So once someone lights for you at home, you're scot-free. Or is it an obligation upon you? You just need a house. The nafkamina would be, if you happen to be without your house, do you need to see a menorah to make the Hanukkah bracha of Shas Anisim? Do you need to be part of someone else's Hanukkah menorah? Or as long as they're lighting for you at home, no issue. Second nafkamina, if you're in two different time zones. Gentlemen, as we say in Pa'am and Yinish, Bedav Titan, Bankist, this didn't help me one bit. This whole front of the shir, you can erase. This gentleman told me, we're all traveling on Hanukkah. We're going for a family vacation. The house will be shut. No one will be home. We will all be in an airport at night, going on a plane. So this whole wonderful part of the shir to try to define is Hanukkah lighting an obligation on the house or an obligation upon the human being? Because as long as someone's lighting at home, maybe you're scot-free. Didn't help me one bit. You want to know why? Because the whole family, thank God, are talking to each other. And they're all traveling together. It happens sometimes that a family talks to each other. So if you turn the page, now we got ourselves a pickle. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? So no one's lighting at home. So I said solution number two would be, if no one's lighting at home, maybe you should light on the plane. I totally took out the option of lighting in an airport. That's not your bayit at all. That's a public place. I said maybe you can light on the plane. As a matter of fact, yesterday, I have it in my phone. I can forward it to wherever you want. There's a newspaper called Yisrael Hayom. The reason I have it is it's given out free and I'm cheap. In any case, there's always a picture in there during the week, Hayuzmanim. They put in something from the long lost past. And there was a picture of the late Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir lighting a menorah on the plane on the way back from Washington in 1983. If you tried to do that today on a normal airline,
that's why you're out.
At best, you'd be arrested. So we got ourselves a problem. That's problem number one. There's another problem with the airplane. Here's the problem. The Gemara says, "Haro'er ner shel Chanukah, tarich levarech." When you see the Chanukah menorah, you need to make a bracha. Again, we won't go into that sugya. It's a complicated sugya. When you see the Chanukah menorah, you have to make a bracha. Says Rashi. Listen to Rashi's words. "Umatzati b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda shamar mishum Rabbeinu Yaakov." In other words, this is a long masoret. The lo'us kakab brachazu. This bracha of seeing a menorah is only for who? For a guy who didn't light himself or herself. Someone that didn't light yet at home. In other words, you're coming home from shul, you didn't light at home, you're not about to light at home. You're on the road. Or, please tell me what it says. Yoshev basfina. Anyone see a problem here? I'm sitting on a boat.
Where?
Why do I, if I'm passing by Haifa, I'm on a boat, and I see menorah lighting in people's windows on the port of Haifa, that's when you make this bracha of Sha'as HaNisim. You can't say Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah because you didn't light. But if you light yourself, no problem. What are the examples Rashi gives? Either no one, you're not about to light at home, or you didn't light yet at home, or you're Yoshev Basfina. What concerns me this morning is Yoshev Basfina. What's the question I asked on Rashi right away? What was the question on Rashi? No, gentlemen? I'm sitting on a boat. I'm on a cruise. Rashi says, you got no choice. You got to look out the window at night. And if you pass by the port of Haifa, some other port where there's Jews, and you see a menorah, make a Sha'as HaNisim. What's the problem I have? You're not mishtatef. You're making birkat haro'eh. When you see the Chanukah menorah, you make Sha'as HaNisim. What is the simpler solution? Why don't you light in your own boat? Why don't you light in the room that you're sitting on in the boat? It seems that Rashi is saying, if you're on a boat, you're on a movable vehicle of any sort, it could be a boat, it could be an airplane, you can't light. A simple diuk from Rashi. Rashi says, you're on a boat, you have the ability to light, but you can't. Why? You're on a boat. Obviously, Rashi is assuming what? That a boat, or an airplane, or a train, are not a what? Not a bayit.
But isn't Rashi talking about a boat that's uncovered?
Oh, now already our dear friend is Mechavein, your first name again, I forgot. Arthur, right. Arthur's Mechavein to a Maharsham. The Maharsham Shvadran, he again went into the 20th century, he was a rabbi of Brzezin. The Maharsham Shvadran says, he looked at this Rashi, it seems like it's impossible to light on a movable vehicle. And Arthur and the Maharsham think alike. I read to you the tshuva. Imutad la'adrik nerot chaluka ala bahan. I don't know what a bahan is, so thank God in the new project Ashut where I copied this from, it says rakevet. I know what a rakevet is. What's a rakevet?
Bahan.
What's a bahan? A train.
Yeah. Wasn't it the rabbi that learned with Rav
Soloveitchik? No. No, this is Poland. This is not Lita. This is not Litvish. This is Poland. As you know, in the ancient world, the Litvakin didn't get along with the Hasidim. The Hasidim didn't get along with the Litvakin. Together, they both hated the Hungarians. And they all lived happily ever after. They got together once a year in the 20th century for the Knisya Gdola of Aguda. They never saw each other for the rest of the year. It was a beautiful relationship. It's like a couple that can't get along. Once a year they get together with the anniversary. Then they go their merry way. That's approximately the old country on one leg. Obviously there were people that talked to each other, and I'm making it oversimplified. But no, the Maharsham was a great Gadol B'Yisrael, a Talmid Chacham from the Polish world. The Maharsham says like this. I read this Rashi. I saw the Rashi, but Rashi is not talking about the cruise ships we have today. What is Rashi talking about?
An open boat. It's very windy.
He's talking about an open boat, but you can't light Hanukkah menorah. Why?
It's
not a home. You don't sleep on the boat.
Plus the wind. You can never.
Not only that, it's an open boat. What's a home? A home has four walls and has a cover on it, like a Rishus HaYachid on Shabbos. Says the Maharsham, and I quote, first of all, he says, I haven't found anything explicit, but he says, "Mishi shilem ba'ad kol alayla, havi kesachar yesh lo beit dira le'echol v'lishon sham v'chayav b'neirot Chanukah." If you paid for the whole night to be on the boat, it is like you're by it that night. Now take it into the airplane. Did you pay for your seat?
Yes.
Absolutely. Same case. He says, but Rashi says, "Yoshev bashmina yesh lomar like Arthur shayu asfinot p'tuchot melo kirui v'aruach b'nashev lo yag begeda bayit klal." It was an open tugboat. It wasn't a boat where you go ahead and you have a room with heating or with air conditioning and you sleep there. It was an open boat. However, in this case, he says, it's a real bayit. The Aruch HaShulchan agrees. Yachol yismoch b'pshitut al b'ito shemadlikim sham. If someone's lighting at home, fine. Omnam halo yireh nerot Chanukah v'lachen tov shedlik nerechad ba'agala sheyoshev sham u'levarech alav. If a person's on a wagon all night, horse is taking the wagon too has a roof, has four walls, you're going to sleep there, someone's taking care of the wagon, it's your house that night. So therefore, I told this family, based on the Maharsham, even though Rashi says Yoshev Basfina is out, why is the Yoshev Basfina out? It's a movable vehicle. Says the Maharsham, that's only if the movable vehicle is not made into a home, but if it's made into a comfortable home, you have no problem. Therefore, I said, no problem. You're paying for your seat on the airplane. Again, an airport is a public place, but the seat in the airplane is your home that night. You're sleeping on the plane, whatever sleep you're going to get. That's where you light the menorah. Now, what are you going to light on the plane?
If they permit.
If they permit, there's no way you're lighting candles on the plane. They're not going to light olive oil on the plane. No way. Well, what is the only solution, gentlemen?
Because your yotze is to light and blow it out immediately. So you could light it, blow it right out.
Who told you you're allowed to light and blow it out immediately?
I was told that you can light it if the wind blew it out.
Please tell the gentleman that that's absolutely puzzle for menorah lighting. In order to light a menorah, you need to have enough to light for the requisite amount of time. What do you mean enough?
One second? No, you have oil. You were set.
And you blew it out?
And then you see the students and you say, uh-oh, it's against the rules, and you blow it out.
You can't do that. You have to light in such a way that it's going to last for at least a half an hour. You cannot light if it happens to be that the wind comes and blows it out. That's not your business. You don't have to relight. But you have to have enough there that potentially it could light. So if you light in the middle of a hurricane, oh, I'm lighting. I don't know what's happening around me. As we say in Hebrew, I'm Rosh Bakir. I'm a dumbbell. I don't know what's happening. I'm just lighting. Okay, here, I'm light. Oh, went out. How did that happen? Oh, there was winds? Oh, I didn't notice. No, you can't do that. You have to light properly. If it happens to be that it goes out because of a wind that all of a sudden comes, then that's not. You don't have to relight. That's what we call hadlaka osa mitzvah. That's right. But when you do the hadlaka, you need to potentially have enough there to light for half an hour. You can't light in such a way that it's going to go out in a minute. If, for some reason, external factors come in... Today we paskin, you have to light a menorah for at least a half an hour. We paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah, which means that if it happens to go out, then you don't have to relight it. Okay?
Some 70 years ago, I was in Auschwitz, and at work, just about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and somehow somebody got the little cannon, a glass, something in the porch, because we were working in a big factory, and we put on the, all of a sudden, he's a German, the head of the work, so he came in, so he said, what do you want, he accused them, I disappeared right away, I went out, and I was working, I didn't know nothing, but I was told later on that he accused that we wanted to start a fire, so he called the SS came in, I was told, because I disappeared. I didn't want to, I had nothing to do with it. The cop said, I'll take care of it. So the cop said, listen, it's the last time. It was a good couple.
Very good couples. Serge the cop wasn't a good guy.
I don't think we should judge them under those circumstances.
There's a lot of things in there.
Okay, obviously in Auschwitz, I'm not going to blame anyone for lighting Hanukkah menorahs, and that is just an amazing thing. Yeah.
But that's, first of all, it's a sakona.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's...
And it's only a mitzvah de Rabbanah not to mention that, yeah.
And besides, it's not your house, and you got to go the whole...
Absolutely. 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 Now...
When you're in a hotel, and you're right. The room, and you put zero light in your room, and the hotel lobby is where people typically light. The hotel lobby is often like the airport. You bought a ticket on the plane, and the hotel facility is...
I would say the hotel lobby is at best a chatzer, perhaps, and therefore you can light there. But now you're not in a hotel, you're on a plane. Is a plane your place? It's a moving vehicle. We just established that it's absolutely the place you're going to sleep that night. People do sleep on planes, like myself. So the question is, can you light there? It seems like the Maharsham, the Aruch HaShulchan say yes. The question is as follows. What do you light? So we have established no one's at home. We've established that you have to light. We've established that even though you're on a movable vehicle, if it's a house for your night, you can light there. You're in your seat. What do you light? If you light candles, they'll throw you off the plane, at best. So what do you light? So here's the question. Here's the question. I'm going to rule out, for the sake of the shir, anything that has to do with lights that are not a typical bulb. A typical bulb means a bulb that has a filament in it that gets hot. If it's a LED light, like on your phones, if it's LED, if it's fluorescent, any of the above, out. The question is, can you light what I just said, namely a normative bulb, have four of them for Hanukkah candles? Generally, we paskin, you could for Shabbos candles. So the question is that spill over to Hanukkah candles? In other words, if on Shabbos you put on a regular bulb, most poskim, not all, most poskim say you are chayav in the mitzvah and you are chayav in the avera of mavir, of putting on a fire on Shabbos. So if we have to light a fire on Hanukkah, it would follow that perhaps you can light an electric, regular filament bulb. Hard to find today, but you can still find them. So, here's the question. The Gemara says in Meseches Shabbos, in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Kol Hashmonim V'Aptilot Kshirim L'Ner Hanukkah. You can light anything you want. You can light wax candles. You can light oil, any of the oils. However, what's the mitzvah min amuvchar? Shemen zayit. So the Gemara says, Kol Hashmonim Kulan Yafin L'Ner, V'Shemen zayit min amuvchar. And the Gemara says, why? Because Nahora Tfei, it's a beautiful light. It has a gorgeous light. Now, what does those words mean? It has a gorgeous light. It has a physical gorgeous light, or it has a halachic, ideological, drusha, sermon, gorgeous light. I'll explain. Tosfos says, "Nirad de ner Chanukah kaim mishum tama demasik denafshe nahora tfei." It's a good light. It lights beautifully. It's a practical light to use. That's what Tosfos says. Comes the Meiri and says, no, wax candles also have a nice light. You don't need to go that way. Electric candles have a nice light. Why do we use Shemen Zayit? Because the whole miracle of Hanukkah happened with Shemen Zayit. So Dumya de Migdash is like in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to do like in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not a beautiful light physically. It's a beautiful light Jewishly or ideologically. Okay? Based on these two points of view, Tosfos versus the Meiri, we'll have to come down to our situation today. Namely, can you light with electric candles? If the whole issue is because the Shemen Zayit lights nice, then electric candles light even nicer! Beautiful! However, if you say, no, it has to be like the Beis HaMikdash, we got a problem. First of all, electricity doesn't go out. Shemen does go out eventually. Number two, you're not putting a wick with oil, or you're not putting a candle with wax. What are you doing? You're putting on a light. It's totally different than the Beis HaMikdash. So if you look on the left side of the page, the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, many poskim, the Har Tzvi, all say you have to do it like then. It has to be like the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. So wax candles we've already koshered, but it has to be like it. In other words, it's something that has a wick with a little string, and it goes on, and it eventually goes out. Rav Kook has a chiddush, if you look on the last page, and he says, his chiddush is that anything that Chazal didn't have, you can't light Hanukkah menorah. So what did Chazal have? Wax candles, oil, etc. They didn't have electricity. So the ruba of the poskim say you can't use an electric menorah for Hanukkah candles. Therefore, when I was a kid, every time we saw an electric menorah in the window, we right away said, a Reform Jew lives there. Okay. And indeed, look at the list here. The list on the left side is long. However, a good posek always has in his drawer something to take out in these situations. Is there anyone that says you could light with electric menorahs? Not the Reform conservative. In the Orthodox world, the answer is yes. The Tzitz Eliezer says it. The Ibiya Omer quotes the Beis Yitzchak that contemplates it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Or LeZion. The Or LeZion was Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul. He was a great rabbi in Beit Vagan. He died not so many years ago. We're talking about 20, 25 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. They all say you can use an electric menorah for a very simple reason. There's no difference. There's no difference. This is hot, this is hot. This makes light, this makes light. The Gemara didn't say you need to make it like the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara said use Shemen Zayit because it has a nice light. If you go with the Tosfos point of view, not a Jewish nice light, just a nice light, you got a beautiful light. However, says the last posuk on the page, the Or LeZion, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, it's better to use not an electric menorah that goes into the electricity, but an order to be choshesh for the views that say it has to be like the Beis HaMikdash. What is the one difference between oil and electricity plugged in? oil extinguishes eventually, and electricity will never go out if there's no power failure. Right? Therefore, says Ravencia Nadashul, in order to be Yotze, both points of view, namely, it's a beautiful light, plus it's like the Beis HaMikdash, what should you use? A timer, no. Interesting, no. Has to go out. A battery! A battery is exactly like oil! The battery, eventually, the pluses and the minuses run out, and you got a dead battery. And oil, eventually the oil runs out. You got no light. So therefore, what I suggested to this family on the plane is, first I asked him, is someone lighting at home? That would solve a lot of problems. No, no one's lighting at home. Even then we said, maybe it didn't solve all problems. Right? But that would definitely solve it. Unfortunately, not. So I said, you have to light on the plane. And we already contemplated the plane is different than the Sfina of Rashi. What do you light on the plane? So as we saw, in general, we don't encourage, nor do we say, light electric Hanukkah menorahs. A lot of poskim say no, because it has to be like the Beis HaMikdash. However, in this case, no choice. You got to take out the poskim, like the Abiya Omer, who quotes the Beis Yitzchak, who contemplates it, the Tzitzit Eliezer, the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rabben Zion Abba Shaul. And I suggested, bring onto the plane one beautiful four flashlights. It happened to be the fourth night of Hanukkah last night. Four flashlights, battery. Make sure it has not a lead light. Hard to find today. Regular bulb. Make a bracha and light it. Now, the middle point of view here is Rav Shlomo Yitzchak Levin, who I don't know. He was a rabbi in America, who says, I was against this, but I found out that the Tzitz Eliezer allows it, so I couldn't say I'm bigger than the Tzitz Eliezer. So I suggested to do without a bracha. Once again, I always say, when you tell a Jew do something without a bracha, they're not going to do it. Point positive, the Gemara says, on Shmini Yatzeret and L'chutz Laretz, you should sit in the sukkah without a bracha. How many Jews do you know don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Yatzeret and L'chutz Laretz? Simply because there's no bracha, you really don't have to. And therefore, I suggested absolutely, somech on these poskim, and in your seat, which you paid for, on the plane, you will do Pesumi Nisa for your family and anyone looking. Make a bracha. Light four flashlights. Totally okay on a plane to light four flashlights. I don't think you should put it by the window of the plane because no one's looking out. It's obviously going to be Pesumi Nisa for you. And eventually the candles will go out after half an hour. And no problem. You fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah in your seat on the plane.
Question?
Yes.
Since the hotel lobby is public space where you guys are pursuing a mitzvah among a large crowd. It's not your room. You didn't pay for the lobby. You have your room upstairs.
Again, if you say the hotel lobby is a chatzer, you should lighten the chatzer.
Yeah, so why is
we paskin las tosfos against Rashi, you should light the petach chatzer. So when the hotel, the door is like your chatzer. However, I'm very, very, very weary to say that it's a chatzer. A lobby is usually a place you go through to get to your room. Here and there you hang out there, but in general you go through. And number two, very hard to believe it's like a chatzer because you don't own it. Your room you definitely own. You can light fires in your room. This would also be a solution for your room. Absolutely.
Meaning you could light in the chatzer of the hotel lobby.
Again, I say yes. I'm a little weary. I would be more comfortable with the room as long as you have pirsu minis. Gentlemen, to sum up, if you have someone lighting at home, you're probably fine. You don't have to worry about this whole shir. If no one's lighting at home, I suggest not lighting in the airport, on the plane, in your seat, using a flash light that goes out. Should you do this at home? Well, these poskim seem to say no problem. But again, there's a whole slew of poskim that say not to. So at home, we use the normative way. But when you're traveling and you need the need, you have to be a little uncomfortable. A little uncomfortable means you light with a flashlight. Everyone should have a